Well, we're going to be teaching this morning. God's brought some other messages in here and there, but we're going to go back over dealing with manifestations of God. The Lord's had me back up to a place here we were before at and looked at, but we're going to some things we want to do concerning the areas dealing with tongues, because we're dealing with manifestation. What we're talking about is the ministry of tongues. In other words, the gift of tongues, not what you get when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the gift, the manifestation of a gift that operates by the Holy Spirit through individuals from a ministry standpoint. It's to minister to people. See, we need to understand that. Most people don't understand in the body of Christ, if we would talk about the Spirit-filled people really don't know it, but they understand very little about tongues and its use, or understand very little about it. You talk in tongues and we don't understand. We don't differentiate between it from a ministry operation as a gift operate through an individual to minister, and the difference between our own personal tongues that we do in our own everyday life. We just sort of throw it all in a bag together, shake it out, and think we got this thing. And we don't realize that, we're going to look at some things, because we don't realize the significance of its use even in our own personal life. We don't use it probably, I don't know if we even use it 10% of what we should be using it. I don't know if we even use it that much. You know, when Paul talked to a church who, they seemed to have been tongue-talking crazy, he said, I talk in tongues more than you all. And so he understood some things about tongues. We're going to talk about it today because God wants his people educated in these areas to understand some things. People have gone through scriptures and taught on stuff, but really haven't talked the significance. One of the things that I've learned about dealing, especially 1 Corinthians 14th chapter and talking about tongues, and I realize this, the Apostle Paul was probably in Corinth, and he taught in Corinth for almost 2 years. He was there for a year and a half, and then they tried to get the synagogue there, tried to get him in trouble, and then he spent some time after that. So he's probably around 2 year period he was there. So he was teaching for 2 years. And I can know by reading 1 Corinthians 14th chapter that Paul had discussed things with people beforehand, had taught them certain things that are not in this about tongues. That we know that he talked, because when he's talking, he's talking through here, which most everybody I've heard teach on this subject, they talk about tongues, and they usually talk about tongues and interpretation. They talk about it in a much general way. But he doesn't just talk about tongues. He talks about here, he talks about praying in tongues. He talks about tongues as a ministry gift. He talks about tongues used as a sign. Which, how many of you have heard a teaching on tongues used as a sign? See, yeah, but very few people have. But yet he talks about it in here. People don't know a thing about it. It's because everybody, they read this, they see the word tongues, automatically think they know what it's talking about, and they don't differentiate or divide. The word has to be divided. The Bible says we divide the truth. Well, if it can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided or not divided at all. And so God wants some things cleared up of the importance. If we understand its use, and especially if you understand its use, then you got to start using it. If, you know, and this is one of the things. It doesn't matter, like I said before, it doesn't matter how much you know. It only matters with what you do with what you know. And knowing a lot don't mean anything if it's not done. It doesn't mean anything. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost, the average person baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, it does nothing for their life. It doesn't do anything for it. Because those things, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is about ministry, about hooking up the areas of ministry with God. That's what it is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about the anointing on you to do stuff. That's what it is. And so, people don't use it because they, you know, their whole idea is we're geared more toward the church, is more geared toward our own personal lives than we are toward God's life. We're geared more personally to our own personal lives. We pray and ask God to do things like people today. They want to move with the Spirit. Well, if I don't, God can't move through me. How can you have a move? There can't be a move of the Spirit. You can't have a move of the Spirit if it can't move through you. You can't have one. I can't have one unless he can move through me. I can't have a move of the Spirit. I can pray for a revival all I want, but if God can't move through anybody, it can't come. You can't have it. It's not going to happen. There must be people that he can operate through. There has to be. We got to get this into our minds. We got this thing, well, we're just going to pray and then something's just going to come and happen beside from us. Well, that isn't the way it works. That's not the way it happens. You know, the great healing revivals of the 1950s, I was in church as a kid more times than a little bit, probably more than all you put together. I was in church during the 1950s, healing revivals. I mean, I went to Oral Roberts meetings. I got to go to Oral Roberts, see that. But I was in the church that we were in. They didn't preach healing and they didn't do that. Even though it was a great move of God, I only ever saw one healing in that church over the years. One healing. Well, they wanted God to move. They wanted all this stuff. But see, they didn't move or flow with that, with being baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues. You know what? No matter how much they wanted that, they couldn't have that happen. Why? Because they couldn't flow with it. See, we have to understand this stuff. It's sort of like the Spirit-filled church today is in that same class. They have these things and they say, we want them and we want God to do. You and I, me wanting something, ain't going to make it happen because we want it. Somebody's got to do something about it, you know. We need to get in and get this changed in our thinking about the move of God. I don't know, I was just sort of strange when I came in the kingdom and got born again. I just had this idea that God was supposed to move through me. But it was a teaching I was listening to. You know, I sat down and listened to things and I listened to teaching that told me what I'm supposed to be doing. And then when one thing of it is, I know people listen to the same teaching, but they didn't do this. They didn't do it. They just listened to teaching and said the teaching was great. but they didn't practice it. So it doesn't matter. It don't matter how much is said. You know, you don't grow spiritually by what you hear. You grow spiritually by doing what you hear. It's like exercising your muscles. You can read all the weightlifting books, all the exercise books you want. Until you exercise your muscles, they ain't getting no bigger. Your faith will not grow one iota listening to teaching all the time. Won't grow one iota. It doesn't grow. It grows by practicing it and put it to you. Great faith, like Kenneth Hagin, great faith comes through great trials. Other means, I don't want great trials. Well, then you don't want great faith. You're going to face things. Your faith must be applied for it to grow, to get strong. Amen. It gets strong. You know, the more I've gone through in my faith, the more I have been able to stand through certain things of life. Because of the things that I faced and stood in faith for, walking through to you accomplish. And so we need to get this. And this is one of the things we go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We're going to go back to verse 14. And verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue. Now here's talking about praying in tongues. This is not the ministry of tongues. This is not the gift of tongues. He's talking about praying in tongues. Your personal tongues praying in them. He said, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When you're praying in tongues, it's about your spirit praying. It's not about your mind. This is where we have the terrible hard time in Christianity with spirit-filled people. Don't pray in tongues because Christians only do what they can understand in their mind. And they don't like to pray in tongues because they don't understand. You know, if you gave them a prayer thing to read off of and to pray, they'd sit down and read that thing. But if you told them to pray in tongues, they couldn't last that long. Because their mind is it. It's all about the mind. Today, see, we're the Greeks in the Bible. You know, the Jews were looking for a sign, and the Greeks, it's all about intelligence. And we got to know everything that's going on. We have to understand everything. We don't believe anything till it's settled in our minds. It's not about our hearts. Faith's about your heart, ain't about your head. Your head's stupid. Because if you have to use your head to understand everything all the time, you ain't very bright. Because there's things you cannot get except on the inside. You understand it can only be on the inside. There's things I know about God I can't explain. It don't make no sense, but I know my heart is true. And I can walk in it, yet I can't. My mind will never reason and agree with it. Because why? It is unreasonable. You know, I always use things. Think about, you can't think about eternity. How do you think about that? You know, I have trouble 10 years down the road. Lord, it's like, my God. And if you get to be a politician, you can't believe 10 minutes down the road. You know, everything you see, you got to try to fix it right now and don't pay any attention to what's going to happen down the road with what you just did. You know, we're going to fix the economy. Oh, please don't. Oh, God, don't fix the economy. Oh, no. It's bad enough. We need God to help us. But see, we got to get over there. This is why we're a reasoning people. We've been taught this way, you know. And, you know, I've often wished, you know, because really, when I was in church, they never really talked much about the heart and that kind of stuff. They didn't teach that. So people didn't know about it. But I often wished I was a child would have learned about how to believe from my heart. I'd have been so much further ahead today if I had I known those things. Had they taught us that? You know, we were taught, you know, the heart was this thing that pumped in your body. You know, I remember my mom talking, this was after I was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she's talking about her heart, and, you know, she, from the Bible standpoint, and she was really thinking the thing is blood pumps blood through your heart. But they were taught that in church, you know. They talk about the heart, and this is what it was, and, you know I watched TV one time, and one Christian college had the guy was up teaching, and they had to talk about the heart. And they had a big thing up there of the human heart. And this is what he's teaching them. Thought, oh my God. You know, no wonder nobody knows nothing. See, you can't, we need to get over, we need to differentiate between the spirit and the flesh. What's spiritual and what's flesh? You got to be able to divide the two. You see, you can't know the will of God by your mind. My mind has a hard time sometimes with the will of God. My mind, I don't know, my mind fights me. Maybe you just also spiritual. You don't have that problem. My mind fights me on things. Things that I know in my heart. And my mind is like, whoa, that's weird. You know, no, that ain't gonna work. That's not gonna, mm-hmm. Say, hold it, God. You need to talk to me about this before you want to head in that direction. I got ideas, you know. But, we need to get older. But we're praying. So we're praying in tongues. He says here, he said, we have this problem because tongues is about what's coming out of the inner man, and it's not about the mind. The mind doesn't like that. Your own mind. It isn't the devil just fights you about tongues. Your own mind will fight you about tongues till you train your mind to shut up. Till you resist. See, we talk about resist the devil. Well, I'll tell you, resist your mind. And get some of that stuff to flee from you. You need to resist because your mind will hinder you. Now he goes on verse 15. He said, I pray in my spirit, prays my understanding unfruitful. 15, what's the conclusion then? He said, I will pray with my spirit and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, also will sing with my understanding. In other words, something that you do by your will. See, we don't do this enough. We always get over in a spiritual time. We want to pray. We want to speak in tongues when we feel some kind of ecstasy, when we're worshiping God or something, or we feel something. He didn't say that. He didn't say about it. He said, this is what I will do. Can I pray in my understanding anytime I want to? I said, yeah. Well, he said you can pray in tongues the same way anytime you want to. The church world don't want to. Don't want to. See, now understand, some of the groups were taught years past, you didn't speak out in tongues unless there's some kind of anointing, some kind of, you know, you got goosebumps in a service and then you did. That's what they were taught to do. It wasn't scriptural, but that's what they were taught to do. We didn't know that. They didn't teach about tongues at your will. You know, I started, you know, when I, past week I got a day and I took a day of, you know, some prayer and fasting and I prayed in tongues probably about, you know, not all at one time, but about 5 hours I spent praying in tongues. And, I can just tell you this truthfully. My mind was unfruitful. I had no ecstasy in none of it. But I believe what the Bible says. I'm edifying myself. That's what I believe. See, that's what I believe happens. I don't care how I feel about it. I don't care. I didn't need to have a vision. See, it's believing the word. Much of what we do is not by faith. It's by feelings. We only talk in tongues when we feel. We're not operating in the areas of faith. You get over there, it doesn't matter how I feel. I didn't have to. God never spoke to me during that time. He didn't need to. I was edifying myself. That's what I told the Lord, I'm going to pray. I need to pick myself built up. See, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the things. There's things coming on this earth, and most Christians are not ready for it at all. And your confessions ain't going to stop it. You better be ready knowing how to use your faith. You won't be built up. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes things will come along, you don't see it coming at all. But you better be ready. Your heart better be ready to deal with that thing. And so you need to understand it. See, people don't understand this today. They don't get over in the areas of faith till the truck hits them. Then they're in the hospital praying. See, that ain't the way it works. See, God has, I call praying in tongues good preventive medicine. It's good preventive medicine. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. You know, I was glad of the fact because I got the blood clot in my lungs. See, that happened to me. But you know what? I had been praying. I was not disturbed or worried. I wasn't afraid. And they told me I had a blood clot in my lung, and the doctor said, "You're still alive." Well, I thought, well, no doubt. God, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. But you know what? If I hadn't, see, I'd spent a lot of time over months there praying in tongues. And so when something came, I was ready for it. Now, one of the things I wanted to find out was this. When I was sitting in the hospital, I was in the emergency room, and I was sitting there, and Wanda and I were in the room, and they came in and talked to me, and then the nurse went out of the room. And I told Wanda, I told her, I need to talk to the Lord. I said, because I wanted to ask her, I want to find out this. Sometimes things happen because we get out of line and we open the door for the devil, things to happen. Sometimes things happen to us and we didn't do a thing wrong. It's just the devil's after you. But you got to know the difference, and if you don't know. See, many people start making confessions of faith and all this kind of stuff, and they don't know. They open the door to the devil. See, the first thing, I sat right there on that thing, and I said, "Lord, I need to know this. Have I done anything to open the door to this to happen to me? I want to know this. Why? Because I know this. My faith ain't going to work if I don't deal with this. There's something wrong, and I'm not dealing with it." See, everybody just jumps on the faith confession bandwagon. This is faith, so-called faith people. But nobody tells them, say, "Hey, hold it. You can sit and make confess night and day, but you got the door open to the devil. Till you close that door, he still has access." Confessions that you're going to be healed don't change that. You got to change that. You close that door. And so I wanted to know. And I sat there and I said, "I need to hear something from the Lord." And I told Wanda that. I said, "I need to hear something from the Lord." And I sat there and I just, it was fine. It was a time. It was quiet. Nobody else around. I said, "Lord, if I missed it anywhere, let me know." I said, "I'll change. I'll do whatever you want. I'll repent, change if there's anything I missed it." And I was there maybe a minute or so. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Don't you worry about anything. Everything's all right." And I looked over at Wanda. I said, "The Lord just spoke to me." I said, "Don't worry about it. Everything is going to be good. We're just doing fine." And within a half an hour, I was feeling just great.
Amen.
See, you got to know you have a, people don't do that. People just jump right over on this thing. See, we bypass it. This is one thing. See, tongues will make you sensitive to the spirit realm. That's why the devil don't want you to do it. And your mind's too stupid to know it. And it is. Your mind is too stupid to know it. It'll make you sensitive to things of the Spirit. This is why many people can't hear God, because they've never built that, their spirit up. It isn't strong in hearing. Their spirit, they haven't been hooking up, talking to God. And I encourage you, this is for your own self, your well-being, for you, your family, everything. It's taking time to do this. And if anything, I would think that the devil would give opposition to will be this. He don't want people doing this. This is one of the great reasons that the church is in its condition today, is because the church got away from basic principles of word. They got teaching everything else under the sun, and they left this stuff. In fact, spirit-filled churches don't even want you talking tongues in church. It might scare somebody off. Yeah, the devil, they love the devil. That's what they love. Oh, don't talk in tongues. Don't do anything that'll be spiritual in the church. Why? Because the people who sit in the pews, many of them don't even know Jesus, and they'll quit giving checks. We got to keep making them feel they're all right. We're scared. We're scared of this tongues thing. You know, I've had this over the years. There's people, you know, people in this church over the years, some of them, they ain't here no more. And I said, but they would not bring, say, if a relative visit or anything, they would bring a relative to church. Because I don't remember if it's talking tongues or do something, they might not like it. They don't realize they needed to be here. They're ashamed. Most spirit-filled Christians are ashamed to be in spirit-filled. They're ashamed of it. They don't want people to know it. Talking tongues, you'll think they're weird. I gave it up a long time ago. It's weird. Amen. They thought I was weird when I didn't talk in tongues. It ain't changed.
Amen. Preach.
Just because I like Jesus, they don't like me. That's what the problem is.
Amen.
The problem's about Jesus. It ain't about tongues.
Amen.
It's about Jesus. People get down to it. Jesus said I was going to be persecuted for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Tongues is part of the deal. Tongues is what can help me keep going. And so, I don't know. I need all the help I can get to keep going.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, we want to stay there. In the 14th and 15th verse, I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue," says, "my spirit prays." Now, the word tongue, I maybe didn't talk much about that, but the word tongues, if you look in the Strong's Concordance, the word used in this talk, when it talks about tongues, it's talking about an unlearned language, a language that is not learned. If you look in Strong's Concordance. So, it's an unlearned language. So, we're talking a language that is not learned. This is not talking about languages, and it doesn't mean that a person could not speak God couldn't anoint somebody to speak out in another language or anything. In fact, when the Spirit was poured out up in Topeka, Kansas, back in the early 1900s, was poured out there, a woman, she began to talk in what they didn't know what the language was, and when they found out it was Mandarin, they got a linguist go in. We're going to talk about signs, because sometimes tongues is a sign. And we're going to talk about tongues use as a sign. And this is one thing. Don't pray for sinners if you're scared about tongues. Because God might want to use a sign to reach them and you don't want them to be around it. People don't want them around the tongue thing because they might not like it. If they hear this about tongues, they'll think we're weird. God uses tongues as a sign to reach sinners. We're going to talk about that. The Bible says so. So we're going to talk about it, but it's not taught in the church. It's not taught in the church. But we need to understand, because these things do happen, and God uses these. Well, they found out she could even turn around. God moved so supernaturally. Because see, they didn't know. The people that were seeking to know, Parham and them, they wanted to know if the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for their day, where they were supposed to have it, or like they had been taught, you don't do that anymore. And she even went as far as God gave her the ability to write Mandarin. She could sit down and write it. This woman had none of this. She wasn't an educated woman, didn't have any of this stuff. She didn't know nothing about Mandarin or writing it or talking it or anything like that. But God used that as a sign for them. And we want to talk about that, because when we speak in a tongue, it says, "My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit, and it doesn't help anybody." It's not helping. In other words, other people. When I'm doing that praying, it's about other people. See, because he had been talking about ministering in tongues. This isn't about other people. So this is the only thing of praying in tongues is it benefits me. It benefits me to do it. It may help other people. We can pray in tongues. I pray in tongues many times when I'm praying for other people. You know, I take about maybe 2 minutes praying when I know. Then I yield to the Holy Spirit and I pray for the individual in tongues. I pray about his circumstances. I pray for it in tongues. Because, you know, my mind is unfruitful about the subject. So I go over into tongues and I just stay in the unfruitful mind area. But I pray in tongues and I know this. It works. God wouldn't have not told me to do it if it didn't work. So he said, "I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will also sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently by my mind and understanding also." That's what it says in the Amplified Bible. In other words, we're doing something. We're dealing something. There's things that we know. We have revelation and it's dawned on our mind about the Bible. It is good to pray and stand on that. One of the things is it's always good when I go to praying, get yourself scripture that it sets a foundation for what you're going to be praying for. You know, Kenneth Hagin said this over the years, and I've had it happen too. Somebody comes up and they say, "Well, I want prayer for healing." And you ask them what scripture they stand on, and they'll just look at you like a dummy. They pray for me, but I don't know what the Bible says. I just want healed. These are Christians. You know, it's like, are you standing? Well, You know, I've been taught God heals. It'd be good for you if you knew a scripture about it. That'd be a good thing. What are you having faith in? Well, God wants me well. Yeah, the whole world He wants well. Are they all getting well? So you've got to have a place to stand. You get a place to stand and always find a good place to stand. So you can, we can pray with our reasoning, but there's one thing, as I found out, you know, my intellect isn't as near as large as it needs to be when it comes to the things of God. You can know a lot about a lot of things, but, especially when we're praying about, things like, if you pray for our nation, how long could you sit and pray other than that God gave you? Now, I've had this happen to me. I've had the spirit of prophecy come on me while I'm praying, and all of a sudden scripture just starts rolling out of me on a certain thing, and I'll just give scripture after scripture of stuff. And I always like that happens because I like to listen to hear what the scriptures are going to be because I don't know what they are. And all of a sudden, they'll just pour out of me, and I think, oh, my God, I wish I'd have... I got to write that down, remember that and that. That's a good one. That's a good scripture. And that happens to me. Sometimes I get over in the areas of praying, I'll start doing that. But that's not from my great reasoning mind. That's not because I'm so smart. That doesn't happen. It comes out of your spirit. You know, I've read through this Bible. There's all kind of scriptures that I know that I could not off the head tell you what they are right now. I wouldn't know. But the anointing comes on me, and those scriptures that come out. I come up to preach, and sometimes I'm just amazed. I think, dear Lord. See, all these people sit around and try to memorize and memorize. I've never tried to memorize. I never try to memorize. Why? Because my spirit hears everything. Memorization is a mental thing. And you're going to try to follow God out of your mind. I'm going to tell you what, you got it out of your heart. Everything, every scripture that I have read in my life, my spirit heard it. My spirit knows it. It ain't forgetful at all. If I hook up my spirit, there's no telling how far I can go.
Amen.
See, I want you to get a hold of that. Understand it. You want to rely on your spirit. Your spirit is a powerful thing. Hugely powerful. It knows more than your mind, and you need to know that. And on top of it, God, the Holy Spirit's in there? Wow! My God. I mean, what could you compare that to? It's going inside of you. And that is what we need to get a hold of. When God started Kenneth Hagin teaching how to be led by the Spirit, I personally believe that's the most important subject he ever taught. Wasn't healing. Wasn't all that. It was how to be led. Because it don't matter. You can't be led by the Spirit. You're not going to go far as a Christian. As the Lord told me. He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, He said, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. That's what He told me. Led by, why? Because the power, the glory of God, it's inside of you all the time. We're trying to grasp it out there when we can get it in here. And what's out there, we can grab it and bring it into existence. But it's brought in through the inner man, not through the head. It's not brought through the head. It's brought through the inner man. So, hook up with the inner man. Now, I want you to see this because we go over to verse 16 of that same chapter. It says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, amen, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. Now, he said the uninformed. I'm going to just say this ahead of time, but we'll look and we'll feed this, find out it's true. The uninformed here, he's talking about a Christian who doesn't know spiritual things. He's the uninformed. He's not a fundamentalist. There is no such thing as a person who doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost being a fundamentalist. They are not fundamentalists. Say, well, why do you say that? Because the Lord told me specifically. One day, this was not an inward witness. The Lord spoke to me because over the years, I had used this term talking about a person who didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'd just call him a fundamentalist. And when I would do that, something inside of me wasn't right. But it's one of those things you can just sort of ignore. I thought, you know, it's like that, you know. And I was going on with this. So one day, I had said something to somebody about fundamentalist thing. And so later on, the Lord cornered me on the thing. He said, why do you call them fundamentalists? He said, they're not fundamentalists. He said, they don't believe in the fundamentals of the Word of God. They don't believe in. He said, you're the fundamentalist. He said, you fundamentally believe my what my Word says. He said, they don't. Why do you call them fundamentalists? And I said, Lord, forgive me. I will not use that term for them anymore. There's things about the move of God here in this end, and the Lord told me, they can't bring in, they can't pray in, because it cannot be prayed out from your mind. You're going to have to pray out through the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit pray out the will of God to bring these things to pass. Intercession is very limited when you deal interceding for anything, when you're just using your mind, what you know in your mind. Because we're dealing with too many things that are outside the comprehension. We don't know everything about everybody and everything that's going on. So if I don't know, I can only pray as far as I know. And there's a million things I don't, so I can't touch them. We can't touch them. But we can. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can say, Holy Ghost, I don't know what to pray about this as I ought, so I'm just going to yield to you, and you pray out the plan and will of God for this thing. Hallelujah, it's working. And I start praying in tongues. Why? When you pray in tongues, you're praying heavenly language. You're not praying earthly language. You're praying heavenly languages. In heaven, they don't talk in English. They don't talk in Mandarin. They don't talk in Hindi. They don't talk in Spanish. They don't talk up there in that. There's heavenly language people talk in. We get to heaven, you won't need an interpreter. Well, some might. I don't know. There'll be some people are so dumb spiritually, they'll probably get, give them a lollipop and put them in a playpen. It's like, there you go. He talked here. Did you notice he went from praying in tongues and now he's talking over here? He jumped into this, says, if you bless with the Spirit, in other words, he's talking about praying in tongues, using it, but he's talking about with other people there. He said, these ones don't understand. They don't understand it. He said, now listen to verse 17. He said what it is. Now if I blessed in tongues, he said, this other person don't understand what's being said, but he said this, for you indeed gave thanks well. He said, you did good. You know, when you prayed in tongues, let's just, right now, I could do this. Now, you need to understand this. I can do this right now here. I can bless you in tongues. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you in tongues. Father, right now, I bless them, and I thank Him in other tongues. The Holy Spirit's given me utterance. I just did well. Now, but what he says this, from a public standpoint, people who don't understand this, he said, they don't get edified. They don't know what was said was blessed. They don't know. So when we're dealing with people, we don't do that. When I did it, I did well. That was a great blessing I just gave you. Why? It came out of my spirit. It wasn't something out of my head. It was out of my spirit. Spoke a blessing over you. See, we don't think about, we just do. You know, what would you do if you sit down at home and you sit down, I'm going to bless the food. I'm going to pray in tongues over the food. Oh. You know, people say, well, that's weird. What's weird about it other than you? That you're just a dumb Christian. Well, other than that, what is it? Because it does, see, we need to change our thinking. We need to get back what the Bible says about this stuff. See, you could sit down with people. See, I wouldn't go around people who don't know and understand tongues. Even a lot of Christians who are spirit-filled don't know a lot of tongues. I wouldn't speak in tongues or do things because of their lack of understanding on stuff. They need to be told everything from the natural standpoint. They need to be spoken to. But now when we're in church here teaching, it wouldn't, you know, I could stand here and teach you in tongues. Oh yeah. But see, it wouldn't do you any good. It'd do me a lot of good. Wouldn't do you any good. Why? I got to say words that you can understand so you get edified. See, that's why we do that. So you may think that's weird. Well, see, I learned things about getting over the areas of tongues. The Lord told me to, you know, when Brother Hagin, when he'd minister, he said, you watch him, watch what he does, and learn. So over the years, I watched things in the Spirit. You know, Jesus appeared to him one time on a, he was ministering, he's preaching, all of a sudden he stopped, turned around. He looked at everybody, he said, Jesus, stand right over there. Well, I didn't see Jesus standing over there. I don't know if anybody else did or not. He said, yeah, he is right over there. He's right over there. He said, he wants to talk to me. He said, he wants to say something to me personally. So he said, it doesn't have anything to do with you. I'm going to talk to him in tongues. And he turned around and talked to Jesus in tongues. And then he turned around, came back over and started preaching. You see, there's a lot of things, the depths of tongues, that has never been taught or never even known or conceived in the minds of people. We know very little about it. One of the things we don't is because we don't use what we know. There's no use to getting more in-depth when we don't use what we know. So there's no use going into that. It isn't. But we want to look at here at some uses. So what we want to do is we're like in meetings and stuff and things with people generally, you know, just like prayer. We could go over here and start praying. And it's not speaking for anybody else's edification other than we would be to pray. And we could pray over something and we could all just sit here and pray in tongues over that. But you wouldn't want to do that in a crowd of people who don't understand that. You know, we want to do what we do so they understand what's going on and what's happening. We want to edify them. And so, you know, you don't want to scare them to death. That's why when you speak, and if somebody gives something out in tongues, there needs to be an interpreter to tell people so that individuals get edified. So they get edified from it. That's why we do that. That's the importance of it. We don't cause confusion. But in our own personal life and being together with other Christians that understand spiritual things, there shouldn't be a problem with us in these things. But yet in the church world, there's much problems with this. And this is one of the things is a lot of people want to get tongues today. A lot of Spirit-filled churches, they don't allow tongues in their church. They don't allow, you don't talk in tongues and even interpretations. You don't. I know if I talk to traveling ministers like Todd Levin has told me and others have told me, they go to churches and they tell them straight out, you know, don't talk in tongues, interpretations. They're not even allowed to minister people in the spirit. They aren't allowed to prophesy or do anything. This tongue talking, even Rhema churches. But people got over things. See, we're reaching people for Jesus. And when Jesus starts doing stuff, he causes confusion in the church. You know, we can't have this. Jesus is a troublemaker. And they don't realize God's trying to reach people, but they turn the door off for people. And we'll find out about this. So he says, for indeed, he said, you gave thanks well, but the other is not edified. See, tongues is really a place where you do go learn to operate by faith. See, where you go to operate, and this is where it's hard because people do with their mind. It's just like what I did here in speaking a blessing over you. My mind wasn't understanding what I was saying. But see, I'm speaking from my heart, and I'm just following the Bible said. The Bible said I'm going to do well when I do that. So I'm doing good. So you think the Holy Spirit had me say something really stupid? Did he put a curse on you? See, people don't yield. Why don't we yield to this stuff more often? It's because of lack of faith and what the Bible. We read these words, but they haven't gripped us that we have faith in them. They must come to the place of, hey, that's true. So I can bless. Say, you want to bless somebody you're praying for them? Say, Lord, I'm going to give them a blessed blessing I can give them. Holy Ghost, you're going to let me bless them in tongues. It's going to be better than anything I can think of in my mind. And say words about them in tongues. Hallelujah and bless them. Now, I think Paul knew what he was talking about. He said, you did well. Did you do well or not? Say, well, I don't know what it meant. Well, right, go to the mental and just throw everything out you did. See, we're really, it's hard. Faith is the place that you walk that you can't see naturally. That's faith. The Bible says I'm doing well. Naturally, it seems stupid. Nobody understood it. Naturally, it didn't seem right. But the Bible said you did good. Who are we going to follow? The flaky mind that says, I don't know, maybe we didn't do. Maybe that wasn't good. Maybe that confused. Yeah, confused us is what it confused. But see, that's why you want to stick with the Word of God. Stay with God's Word. Don't move. The Word says you're doing good at something. Then do it. Amen. So hang in there, folks. That's when Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. But what was he doing? He wasn't doing it in church because he says, yet in the church, he said, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So when we're teaching, we're doing those things in the church, we always want to have order. We always want to keep it into place, you know, not doing strange things out on here that people understand, as I used to before in teaching. Brother Hagin would do this numbers of times. I was in his meetings. So many times he would do this. He's going to minister by the anointing would come on him to minister in a certain way or a certain thing. And he would stop. I remember, he had the thing one time, a woman stand in front of him, and he was going, and the Lord told him to punch her in the stomach. She had this big tumor, and the Lord said to her, punch her in the stomach. He didn't just up and punch her in the stomach. He stopped and explained about the anointing and about how the Holy Spirit works sometimes. He said, and he was good because he said, you just don't run around punching people in the stomach unless God told you. He said, you can end up in a lot of trouble. He said, you better know God's telling you. But he explained scripturally. You know, we don't have any place of scripture where Jesus could have came along and spit in somebody's eyes. There was no place of scripture that had ever been done before. You better know what you're doing. But you know what he said? I've learned this over the years because he taught us in Bible school. He said, you don't want to bring confusion to people because he said, if you do, the people will shut down. If they shut down, no matter how much anointing's on you, ain't going to work. God ain't going to work. The anointing will end up lifting. The people will shut it off. So you got to explain things to people. And he'd explain what he's going to do and why he's doing it. And he punched her in the stomach. She was instantly healed. But he explained it. See, people don't, we need to understand, it isn't how anointed the minister is, it's the people's side that matters how far God can go in a meeting, not the minister's side. Now, the minister don't get anointed. He's in trouble. But the people control how far things can go. They need to understand that. And so, this is why he would explain things. He would do it time and time again. He was gonna, like I've seen him deal, he's gonna time like dealing with a person who's a born again Christian spirit filled, and they're being oppressed by a demon. So he's gonna deal with that demon, but he stops and explains about dealing with demons and the fact that the person doesn't, just because they're Christian, person has a demonic problem doesn't mean that they're possessed with a devil, that the devil's in them. See, you can't, a Christian, you can't have Holy Ghost and the devil living in you. That ain't happening. But anyhow, he would go and explain his ministering to that individual because he said this. If you don't, he said, people will leave that meeting and say, oh, I wonder if I have a demon. And they'll start into that stuff. Say, no, you'll have enough people try to convince you of that. So, you don't. But see, he would do those things. It'd just be blessing. Why? You teach people, you keep an order in the church. And so being an explanation, it's always a good thing to do. Now Paul then turned around and said, after speaking this, in verse 20, he said, brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babies, but in understanding be mature. So we need to understand this. He's talking to these people about in their understanding about things, because why? They were actually being children by not understanding about the edification of others. They're being kids. They didn't understand. They were putting themselves first before others. See, we got to learn to. We got to, in the church. This is why we teach. We do things. It is important for people to understand. This is one of the big problems today in the church world because of teaching. There's so much taught, said. There's loads of stuff, whether it's online or on TV or whatever it is. People shouldn't be listening to, even Christians should not be listening to it, and it's supposed to be Christian programming. They should not be listened to. People who listen to everything that comes along and all this stuff, they're just like the little baby on the floor, crawls around, sticks a bug in its mouth. You got to come to a place where you're mature enough to know what you should be eating and what you should, listening to your spirit. See, I learned my year of my spirit as a young Christian. And the Lord would tell, you know, there's things that the Lord kept me away from. I was so thankful. I watched Christians get off into messes and stuff. I've watched leaders get off into messes and do things. The Lord protected me, listening to my spirit, staying away from certain things. That certain things, they didn't sit. And Lord, just in my spirit, I knew, just stay away. People, they just gulp. Anything that sounds good. You make it sound good, people will buy it. And it's learning, you got to learn to listen to the inner man. We're operating, faith is operating out of your spirit. It's not operating out of your head. No matter how many scriptures you know in your head, it's going to be what's in your heart. It's going to turn around and change things. That's what makes the difference. That brings the supernatural. So we're not to be children. He said, when it comes to malice and things, be a baby, you know. But when it comes, why? Because babies, you know, you do things and they don't care at all. They say, don't do that, and they don't listen to you at all. Because when it comes to malice, said don't. But he said, in understanding, be mature. So there needs to be a maturity. Is getting that revelation inside of you into your head is a good idea. But it's got to be something, the things that are on the inside, there needs to be a maturity. Weymouth put it this way. He said, be in your minds. He prove yourself to be men of ripe years. You know, they used to have the thing, as people got older, they got wisdom. Today, I don't know how we reversed it, but they did it. People in America got older and got dumb as a stick. When I was growing, I'm serious. It's just like when I was growing up as a kid, older people, they had a wisdom and stability about them. And today, older people are nuttier than a fruitcake. And I'll tell you why. Because you don't walk with God. You need to understand this. When I, years ago, and when I was a kid, the sinners had a respect for God that even isn't in the church today. You know, I have a neighbor next door. I didn't realize, because I had talked with him about it, you know, the church and stuff. I had talked to him already. And then he said to me about, the one, the neighbor said, you're a minister. I said, yeah, I'm a minister. He said, I'm going to have to watch how I talk around you. I said, man, Christians don't even watch how they talk around me. I've had Christians say stuff around me. I said, well, one of the things I do is I a lot of times don't tell people I'm a minister, because you find out a lot about people. Because they know how to lie when it comes to being, you know, when they find you're a minister, then all of a sudden, this is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, they drink that stuff, and then they go. I always like to get them when they're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I like the Mr. Hyde. We're going to find out. This is the life they really live. I want to see the Mr. Hyde life. But you know, you do. But people had respect. They didn't. You would. It was always, you know, the thing is, even our church, you know, they would do things when growing up as a kid, and they'd help people in the community, that they would take food to people and all that stuff. But you'd have people around, were always really respectful around church people. And I'm going to tell you, so many people were really heathen people. But they had a respect toward things of God. They never talked about it. They never opened their mouth. Even as Christians say stuff today, I think, dear God, you know, you're going to stand before Jesus one day. You've got to explain this stuff. See, we don't realize there's not a respect, there is a loss of reverence. And so that loss of reverence is going down as age is going on down through. We're sitting in a time of elderly people, and people are talking about, well, these people, they did this, they did that. Who raised these people that are so bad? Who raised them? Nobody wants to take any blame for that. Oh, they just turned out like that by themselves. They just popped and there they were. See, the Bible has a principle and it does work. If I get away from God, my kids will be further away from God. That's the principle of the Bible. The Bible talks about how many generations it goes down through. See, those biblical principles aren't preached and taught in the church. We're always putting blame over on, you know, an individual specifically. You know, these kids today, we need to get them straightened out. Sorry, you can't straighten out the parents. I've learned this with Wanda, like working in a school. School can do all they want, try to make a stable time for the kids, but they got to go home to mom and dad. And you know what? How they act? They act like mom and dad. No matter how those teachers try and work, they act like mom and dad. See, that's why people have this idea, well, I'm going to send my kids to a Christian school and then they're going to be all right. No, they're not. They got to live with, how are you? No matter, it doesn't matter what the school does. I can just tell you, you know, they called me into a Christian school to do some speaking. They wanted me to talk to the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders in this school. And they had a pretty big school, you know. And because of things of the Spirit, they had these educational classes and they wanted me to come in and talk about, because the manifestations of the Spirit. They wanted to know some things about that. And also, you know, the operation of them. And I ministered to those kids. But, you know, in that school was full of nuts and fruits too. They had people in there in authority places that should never been in it. They ain't spiritually right. I mean, it don't matter what you do with things. I had the school counselor wanted me to counsel her after I was done speaking and ministering to the kids. And she was more of a heathen than any. She was just Mrs. Left Field. But see, she had a degree. So, you know, she had a degree. Yeah, I'd have gave her a degree. My God, I'd have taken her down to the Humane Society and had her put to sleep. She was doing more harm than good to any. She was in no place to be trying to correct anybody with her messed up life. When she started talking to me about things, I almost wanted to go, ah, la, 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 la. Don't tell me. I was like, oh my God. See, she needed help. I thought she needed to get saved, number one. A lot of people run around saying Christian, but I'm going to tell you what. Anyway, that same school, they had a big problem. They had a, here it turned out their senior class and stuff, they went out and did some things, and the juniors and seniors had this big drug and booze party, a bunch of them. I mean, it was a bunch of them. And they went out having a party. Well, see, going to Christian school don't stop heathenism. It doesn't stop it. See, and people don't, well, I'm going to send them, then everything's going to turn out right. No, if they have to live with you and you ain't right, it ain't going to be all right. That's just the way it is. See, and I, under God, correct me, God, you know, that's one thing is, I never expected the school to be the guide to my kid. Never. Never. I was. If they were going to have a reverence for anything, it was going to be the guy they live with. They need to have a fear because I know God. My kids would have never said things to me that people say, the kids. Because I used to tell them, I say, you know, we brought you in this world and I know how to take you out. I know how to send you home to be with Jesus. I used to tell them, you ain't living like hell in this earth. You ain't living like hell in this earth. Not with his daddy. He knows God. Life won't be pretty for you. It'll get ugly. Your daddy knows enough to put you in your place. See, we don't have any spirit. We've lost these things. Understanding spiritual stuff has caused huge amounts of problems. And is number one is your kids need to grow up with a security that you know God. Mm-hmm. My kids knew that their daddy knew God. Mm-hmm. They tell people their daddy knew God. They knew in the house God talked to this man. They knew I wasn't a dummy in the home. Just because I'd go to work during the day and I wasn't there with them, when I come home, it wouldn't be I didn't know what things were happening. See, we're always on the place of don't knowing what's going. If anybody's going to tell anybody anything, number one, God's going to talk to the leader of the household first. So he's going to talk first. He can go, well, talk to Wanda first. He talked to me. Why? Because I was the head. We won't meddle over in there because that don't fit our society. We'll go to other things in the Bible because we have the way it's done in America. That's going to be. See, maybe I shouldn't put this one online. It'd make a bunch of people nervous. I just believed in having an obligation. I had an obligation to my families. I was obligated. Amen. If I was in charge, God put me and made me the head, then he's going to always come to me first about things. Amen. He's going to come to me. So I learned this. I had to learn to listen to God. I had to learn to pay attention. Amen. I had to learn to listen. And so I took that responsibility. And so you didn't think of all the problems going on with somebody else's problem. So if you're in charge. All right. Hallelujah. Let's go on here to verse 21. Let's see what he makes a statement. This is about tongues. He says, in the law, he said, it was written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Now, that is came from Isaiah. He says in the, he's talking about the scripture, says, it's Isaiah 28, and we're gonna, I'm gonna read to you verses 11 and 12 because it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue I will speak to this people." But listen to the next verse, what it says. It's a good revelation that you need to understand. He said, therefore, tongues are for a sign. These tongues for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but is for those who believe. So he's talking about signs. Let's say, first of all, he said that this tongue stammering lips, verse 12 of that 28 says, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Tongues is a rest. It's a spiritual rest. See, if you don't want, you know, as people are always asking, you know, about as Christians, one thing is I found out, you start getting worn and frayed on the edges, you need to spend time praying in tongues. Or you can just stay over and get worn and frayed on the edges and then turn around and lash out at somebody. Or just, you know, get yourself into a good depression. Spend time praying in other tongues. He said, this is, speaking of that, he said, this is the refreshing. This is a weary rest for the weary, and this is a refreshing. It'll refresh you. That's what it says. Well, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Doing that. See, tongues, your private tongues life has a lot to do how you handle things and do stuff. See, most people don't need somebody laying hands on them, praying them for peace, or I'm just so weak, and I'm just... What they need to do is sit down and spend time praying in other tongues. They need to build themselves up. They're always looking for somebody else. I don't do anything, and then somebody else, you just be Harry Potter, wave the wand, and put the thing on me, then I can just go on back to what I was doing. We'll be worn out in no time anyhow. See, this is the refreshing. We want to walk there, to go to that place. He said, the tongues are a sign. Now, isn't that interesting? He said tongues. Now, he didn't say tongues in interpretation. He said tongues. Remember back, so in the church, tongues, he said, is a sign for the unbeliever. He's talking about the use of tongues as a sign. Now, we talk about the standpoint of scriptures. People talk about, you know, signs and wonders and things like that happen. They're signs. Tongue was a sign. I want you to go over to Acts in the second chapter. We're going to read the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, we're going to find this. Tongues was a sign to the unbelievers. Tongues was a sign, and we want to see it was a supernatural. We find tongues were said, but there was no interpretation. There was tongues said, but the tongues were a sign. Now, he says here in Acts, the second chapter, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It says, then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when it said this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Said, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? See, this is not, here's the thing, these people are wondering about this. What happened? It does not say that they were speaking in those people's language. It does not say that. It said they heard them. Why would you be confused if you walked up and heard somebody talk in your language? I don't get confused. If I came to church and when John walked in, John started talking to me in English, and I was confused. What confused them, they knew they were speaking in a language, yet they could understand it in their own language. That's what's going on. It's a sign. It doesn't say that they were talking. He said, how can we hear them? They're Galileans. Would you be saying, John lives down here in Cleona. And he's talking my language. I remember the Lord first taught me about this. The Lord showed me this. He said, you know, they had Pentecost. He said, they didn't talk in those languages. He said, they always tell you they do. But he said, that ain't what the Bible says. And I went over and started reading the Bible. And I thought, well, you're exactly right. It don't say they didn't. See, there's a sign taking place here. There's something supernatural going on here that is attracting the person's attention. The sinner's being attracted. What happens? In fact, they went to the place and said, now, so here's what people do that don't know what's going on. Immediately they go over and they say, well, they must be drunk. Now, if a guy was drunk and you were Spanish and he started talking to you in Spanish and never knew it and talked to you in Spanish, that would be something, wouldn't it? Would drunkenness do that to you? And see, they accuse him. They must, these guys are just drunk. I slurred the English language when I was drunk. But I didn't speak in other languages. You may not have been able to interpret some that I said, but let's get real, people. There is a sign, and we need to understand the importance of this. The church has left this. We don't look at today. We try to keep the sinner out of the places where the tongues are talking. When we shouldn't be. There's manifestations God wants to do, and He cannot bring them because the church is faithless. We say we want moves of the Spirit. Do we want moves of the Spirit? One of how important this is, and I've heard numbers of different stories on this area of people. One of them, just to bring to mind, Kenneth Hagin used. Kenneth Hagin said he was one of his meetings. He was holding a meeting, and he said during the meeting, he said he had a tongues and interpretation. And he said after the meeting, a guy come walking up to him who wasn't born again, walked up to him, and he was from some country, something in the Middle East he was from. But anyhow, he walked up to Kenneth Hagin, and he said, where did you learn that language that you talked in? And Kenneth Hagin said, well, what do you mean by language? He said, when you spoke, when I spoke in tongues. He said, the guy said to him, yeah, where did you learn that? And he said, I didn't learn that. Well, he said, you spoke in a language, he said, that it's almost dead. He said, only a handful of people even know that language today, that dialect that you spoke. And he said, you spoke that dialect. And he said, I was sitting there and he said, I was wondering, he started to interpret. He thought, how's he going to interpret this? And he said, you interpreted it exactly like it said. And he said, where did you learn that? He said, I didn't learn that. He said, I don't know that language. He said, you know, Kenneth Hagin, you know, always kid about even the English language. He said, you know, he'd always talk like he didn't know that one well. And he told the man, see, the man came to Christ. God moved through that for a sinner. See, then people tell me, oh, it might mess them up. It's just like, you know, I've told the story, you know, just as I preached a sermon on tongues. We first started the church. We were out at the Treadway Inn there, which isn't that called that anymore, but that time we were out there just starting the church off, and a guy comes up to me right before church and says, oh, I hope you're not going to talk about tongues today. He said, I'm bringing my uncle. My uncle's with me, and he's Baptist. And he walks in the door, and the guy says, this guy's a cemetery graduate. And he says this to me, don't, I hope you ain't going to do it. And God had given me a message talking about tongues. So, but see, here's one of the whole thing. See, this is where God gets involved. Now, it couldn't have been my great preaching. You know, I just went through things that I had been taught about, you know, when you teach, you're starting off and you're teaching things. And this Baptist man comes up to me after the service and walked up to me and said, that's the best message I've ever heard preached. Well, I almost fell over. But I thought, boy, this guy don't hear much. But see, God, you know what it is? God was speaking to him in that meeting. God was. He had a visitation from God in that meeting. And see, today in the church world is doing the exact opposite. I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to be shocked how many people of the spiritual group are going to take off when God starts moving. They're going to have nothing to do with it. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked with all these people acting like they're really spiritual and all this kind of stuff. They're going to run away. We can intellectually do all kinds of things. People think it's wonderful. See, the intellect's big today. In the church world, the intellect's huge. But manifestations of God are little. Intellect don't bring moves of God. That's right. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God would be a good way to start. That would be a good way. Lord God, we need you to move. And if I look stupid, that's just too bad. That's just too bad. It'll just have to look stupid. But we need a move of God. We don't need a bunch of intellects running around. But see, God wants to move. And see, we want to come this place. God wants to show His glory and His presence, and we need to allow Him to reveal Himself. It's just like with these people. They came together. They came together and says, how is it? We hear. See, God spoke through them as a sign. It wasn't interpreted. See, we don't, this is one of the things of knowing when it's a manifestation of the gift and me just talking in tongues. See, we have to know, you know, sometimes you can just get fired up yourself in your own spirit and you want to speak out. You need to learn the difference between that and the anointing on you to speak. See, there's areas of development. See, I had to learn over time. See, as I got much better at it, as I got more practice from the standpoint of ministry and that stuff, got better at understanding when the anointing and what was me in my own spirit and what God wanted to do. See, it's learning to pick that up. I would turn around when I first started off. There's a lot of things that I can see. Even things the Lord wanted to do, I sometimes try to jump into it too soon. You have to learn over time. I mean, that's part of just like kids do. You know, kids here say they want to just try it out right away. They don't, you don't want to wait 10 seconds. You know, you get a new bike out there and they can't even ride a bike yet. They want to jump on it and ride down the street. And you got to get them out there and get them trained on it. Well, not them. We just want to go. Let me out. Well, I was sort of like that. And, I found out I needed some training wheels. And some spiritual training wheels would do us some good sometimes. But the more teaching you got, and the more I turned around and actually experiencing gifts and learning over time, is listening to my own spirit. And this is part of is growing up today, but we need to understand there's a lot more to tongues than has been taught. Now, some have taught it, but there's a lot out here that hasn't. It's just been this thing thrown out there in tongues. People don't even know what it's about. There's confusing about it. But God uses it as a sign. Just like on the day of Pentecost, it was a sign. There was no interpreter. Oh, man. See, that would throw everything off. Well, Paul said you ought to have, you know, an interpreter talking tongues. But he was speaking to people who were speaking out in church. He said, everybody, brothers, talking tongues. And we need to divide the difference between ministry, the ministry gift, the gift that operates as the Holy Spirit wills, than my own personal tongues. My own personal tongues. You know, is it like this morning we're up here worshiping? I'll tell you what, I sing in songs, but after a while I just couldn't sing them anymore. And my spirit wanted to say some stuff. And I just got over and talking. I just got talking in tongues this morning. That was my spirit. It wasn't for anybody else's edification. It was for me. That was for me. Now, you know, and it was strong inside of me, but I know it was for me. My spirit wanted to worship God. My spirit wanted to say things Ed's head didn't know about. And I found out that's pretty good because my head ain't as bright as sometimes I'd like to think it would be. So sometimes you just need to get out of here with that and let your inner man do some talking. Hallelujah. Well, in verse 20 says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak in tongues, he said, and there comes in those who are, now he's going to say this, who are what? Uninformed and unbelievers. Will they not say that you are out of your mind? See, if everybody just sit around talking in tongues. Now, what does he say? The uninformed and the unbeliever. So, the uninformed is not the unbeliever, and the unbeliever is not the uninformed. Who's the uninformed? That's Christians. When you talk about people who just believe in being saved, don't know about tongues, they're called the uninformed. Paul said they're the uninformed. He didn't say they were... They just believe in, you know, let's think of a nice name. Paul just said, no, they're uninformed. Why? You need to understand this. What are they uninformed of? Spiritual things. But see, now this puts a weight on us because if we're informed of spiritual things, we ought to be doing it. Well, yeah, right, all right. Then I'm responsible if I'm the informed. Now, I know these people here, see, people will make the big deal. I would rather be on the side of having more tongues than maybe we should than having nothing. The church today, oh, they were really out of line. And today, they don't even use it at all and sitting around act like they have some kind of spirituality. And they are the most uninformed group there is. Much of the Spirit-filled church is an uninformed group. They don't know squat. What they have known, it happened to them just what Jesus said. What you do know will be taken from you. If you don't use what you got, you'll get taken from you what you did know. It'll be gone. There's a natural law in that. Did you ever notice it? How many of you remember all the stuff that you were taught in school when you were in school? How many of you remember? Don't. Why? You didn't use it, and what happened? It's gone. It went, flew away just like a birdie, and it flew right. There's things, I want to tell you, talk to me about it today. I say, what? You come to me and talk to certain things about calculus, and I'm like, are you sure? I don't know about that. I don't. 1 + 1 = 2. Now, but see, those things, you don't use them, and after a while, the knowledge of it leaves. You cannot maintain knowledge without use. I want you to understand, you cannot maintain knowledge without use. To sit and listen to teaching and not use it, you will not maintain it. You can't collect knowledge like you collect marbles or something, or your favorite thing, and you go put it on a shelf, you never really see it or anything, or you put it in a closet, and every once in a while you go open the door and look in there and say, ah, there it is. You won't do that with knowledge. One day you open the door and who stole all the knowledge? We had all that stuff in there. Where did it go? Knowledge has to be used. It has to be practiced. That's how you maintain it. So we can say this today. We got a lot of people that ain't doing nothing. Because, man, we're living in a dumb country. Right? It wasn't because people weren't taught. They were. But they have not practiced what they've been taught. Therefore, you know, really, in many ways, we're our nation's like a bunch of little babies. Running around, whining, crying, rolling around the floor, kicking their feet and upset about everything. Yeah, you know, and they're acting like kids. They're making decisions like kids. Why? There's no knowledge. They've lost it. What they have is going away. They haven't used it. So now they're trying to make up their own knowledge. They're trying to just like kids, you know. Yeah, I always, you know, especially being close to Braden and growing up, when I would keep him as a little kid, and Bray and I really got close with each other and that stuff, and I would watch him. He liked to stay with me a lot. And I used to get the biggest kick out of, like, asking him things, and he would give you ideas of the way he thought things were, you know. And I thought, my God, we could make him, is that when he was probably 3, we could have made him president. He'd probably know more. Today, it's like, oh, my God. But it was always funny because he didn't know what was going on, so he would give the answer to how he thought things were. And I used to really get a kick out of that because, you know, it's just part of being kids, you know. They think of that. But we're living in a world of that today. It's because men left truth, they left things, and they lost what they had. So that's why we need a move of God. There needs to be come back truth again. It needs to be brought back to us. We need to have truth come back. The uninformed folks. So that we're dealing with Christians who don't know about spiritual things. You can't be not baptized in the Holy Ghost and know a lot about spiritual things. There's all kind of things that we need to understand. When you read this book, when you read the letters written to the church, every one of those churches were baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. Every one of them. That was the norm. So they're writing to people that are spirit-filled. They're saying things that are spirit-filled. They're talking about those things. There's many things talked about in the Bible. If you're not spirit-filled, you can't bring it to pass. You're not going to bring it to pass. People need to understand that. They need to understand there's things in here you ain't going to get to without God, the grace of God, operating in these areas. We're taught outside the mind is the only way to go. You have to walk in faith if you want to bring these to pass. And we have to come to that realization that it isn't a matter of you ever get smart enough, but you're hooked up to the one who is way smart enough to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And he's given us a supernatural way to do it. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, he says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all, he's convicted of all, and thus the secrets of the heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So we don't understand here. This is talking about prophecy. He's talking about the gift of prophecy and manifestation, where God, and this is an important thing, is the gift operates. We want to get over these because Generally, he's talking about gifts in manifestation. Through here is the gift of tongues. There's the gift of interpretation. These are ones that operate as a spirit will. They're not out of our own minds or just our own will bringing this to pass. That's not what it is. Break, you know, learn to divide the word. What's it talking about? See, the Lord told me, he said, when they took chapter 12, 13, and 14 and they divided them all up, he said they divided the subject and people didn't see. See, Paul was writing a letter to a church. And this church he's writing to, he had spent almost 2 years with them in teaching. And so there's probably a lot of things that he talked to them maybe in detail about we don't have concerning the letters here that he gets. So we don't have in detail what he says. But we have enough information in the Bible. We should be able to look at these. We have enough wisdom. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We should be able to divide the truth. We shouldn't have to sit down here and be, especially too many ministers are having to be spoon-fed. They need spoon-fed. And that's terrible. Well, how can you stand up before people and teach and you can't divide? You can't divide the word. They don't know how to yield to the Holy Spirit to teach them. It's just like me, they're not yielding to the gift. They don't know how to yield the gift that's in them. If they realize they had a teaching gift, that's a supernatural gift. There's nothing. You ain't going to go to a Bible school and learn to teach. You ain't going to teach the Bible going to a Bible school learning how to teach. Well, I went to Bible school. They have classes about teaching and there's certain things that you can get are sort of good. But this is one thing as I learn about it. Everybody that teaches it never practices it. Because when the anointing comes and you're going to follow the anointing, you're going to end up going to what the Holy Ghost wants to teach and wants to do. You're going to follow the Holy Spirit. See, and people don't, we get over in this thing. There's these gifts that people talk about. You know, they would teach us, you know, how to make a sermon. That was always hilarious because I sit and watch these things and you sit in class and they would take you through this stuff and teach you all this stuff. They would teach you how to put a sermon together. They'd sit down and they would tell you these things. And I used to laugh like crazy and said, man, I want to go see somebody use this. I never saw it before. Because what? They never used it. They would come and they go because, you know, it's like Brother Hagin. He was always great with this thing. He'd get over teaching on a subject and then he'd go off into a rabbit trail. That's why God leads me now. You know, you get up here and I have great intentions. I have in my mind what's going to be happening. And then I come and the anointing comes and it's like, we ain't going that way, are we? So, but the Holy Spirit, but that's what, you know, your life. See, there's things of needs in places you don't know. And if you stay with your mind, you're going to cause a lot of problems in people. We have too much mental teaching, too much mental ministry. All this so-called, you know, people, they go to school and they learn to be counselors and then you put the word Christian in front of, I'm a Christian counselor. No, you ain't. You're just doing what everybody else does, whether they're a Christian or not. You just go, you go learn all this stuff, psychology, and then you put it over here on this stuff. See? And we tack the name Christian to it. Now it becomes like I'm a Christian businessman. Say, you don't have to tell me. I'll determine it how well you do it, what you do. Whether you're a lying, cheating crook or not. We'll find out if you're a Christian. We'll determine that. You can say what you want, but it don't make you a Christian because you tack it on the front of something. Well, I'm not something. See, and this is one thing is teaching. We want to have this. If I go to school and I learn this, then I can do that. That's not the way the kingdom operates. The kingdom operates with the anointing of God. That's the way it operates. And it's learning that. You know, I always felt bad for one church I went to, a pastor. He was called to pastor. I knew that he's called to pastor. He is. He had a teaching gift, but it never really got used much because he tried to always mentally, always on the mental side. He never yielded to his anointing. He never yielded to it. He would go to the dungeon. He always called, get a message from God, I'm going to the dungeon. He would go to his office downstairs in the basement and he would sit down there and just try to get a message. You know, if something don't come, you know what I do? I just go pray in tongues. I pray in tongues. I go do other stuff while I'm doing it. I'm praying in tongues. Getting my spirit fired up. Why? I don't need a message. I need to hear what God wants to say. I have notebooks piled with, I've said this before, I could teach for years and years on end without ever cracking the Bible. Without ever praying 2 seconds. And I could come up with sermons and there's people who really think it was good and it was all me. Me just giving information. People wouldn't know. I got loads and loads. I got so much stuff. Dear God. Notes that I've taken on stuff and things. Loads of things. But I want a message. It's just like I wanted the things this Sunday here. I didn't go back and crack the Bible. I got to find a message. That's not what I do. It's not what you do. What do you want to do? What is it? Do you have something? And the Lord spoke to me. I said, I want you to go back to where you were before. I want you to go to 14:14. And I knew where you want to go to start off with. That's where he wanted me to go start. Okay. I got that. I can do that. See, I can do that. I can go back there to that. What are we going to do from there? Well, we're going to try a lot of things. You know, I get in my mind what he wants to do. But he might have a different idea. But see, I always got to keep myself open to that. You can't get over here. Why? Because he knows what people need. Because he knows what everybody ticks. He knows. I don't. And sometimes I think about, you know, I said once in a church, did that sermon make any sense? You ask her, I'll say, did that make any sense to you at all? Because sometimes I'm teaching, I thought, what on earth was that about? Certain things I'll go on, what on earth was that about? But there's somebody needed that. It's amazing me over time. People come and say, well, certain things, both. But you know, you don't know. You don't know, don't make any sense. And if you know, if it weren't for the anointing, I'd never say it. Because I go home and think, maybe I shouldn't have said that. See, when an anointing lifts, you go back over to that natural place and your mind starts saying, you know what you did? See, you get over, start thinking, your mind starts going back there, your mind starts, and then what? You start critiquing yourself. And what you don't know, you're critiquing the Holy Spirit, so don't be surprised he don't show up the next time. And we get over there. See, and that's one thing. This is why it's moving. These are the places of supernatural. People are trying to have all this. We want to have these big things happen over here. And we have all this thing, areas of supernatural, that people haven't been told about how to get into it. And how important it is to get into the supernatural. Kenneth Hagin used to always say, he said, praying in tongues is the key to the supernatural. It's the key. Praying in tongues is the key to the supernatural. You say that all the time. It's the key. It's how you get there. You do it. Spend time praying in tongues. If Paul prayed in tongues for more than y'all, number one, I wonder what Paul would have probably quit the ministry after a few years if he didn't spend time praying in tongues. How many of you would have put up with the hardships he put up with? How many of you put up with the beatings that he put up? You wouldn't keep going on unless there's something bigger on the inside than what's going on the outside. Well, you need to understand, you can't take care of big things in your life when they start coming up and things. You're having trouble with that. You ain't spending enough time making this guy big on the inside because that's what you need to get over them. Because I'm just telling you this. My willpower and what I know ain't enough. It's not enough. When the battle comes, it ain't enough. My confessions ain't enough if they ain't coming out of here. If they ain't out of this guy in here who doubts not. Because my head can get to doubting quick. How many of you stood off in faith? You go off in faith, and I tell you what, the next thing, 15 minutes later, your mind's over here. Oh, you crazy person. You moron and idiot. What do you think? Look at this. Look what that happened. See that over there? And the next thing you know, you're trying to, you got to go back over. No. This is what I believe. This is what I'm saying. Get back over to the inner man. Start saying that. And then, I got it now. 15 minutes later, your mind starts. You guys never had that. That's me. That's it. And your mind's going over there. And then he goes, mind, shut up in the name of Jesus. That's it. This is what's true. This is what's right. This is that's the battle. There's the war. Well, amen. Staying with the inside man or fighting up with the outside man. That outside man, I'm going to tell you, what people say, well, the devil's talking to you. Lots of times your own flesh and mind. The devil don't have to. It'll fight you. Yeah. Man, there's a war going on. It says the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil was named third. Putting up with the things of the world, seeing too much about the world. The flesh, those are the two major problems you deal with. It ain't the devil. You have authority over him. If you can't handle the first two, he'll jump in. If you're letting them run over you, if you start handling them, he'll want to get his tune in that. But most people, their battle is the world and the flesh. That's what it is. I've learned a long time ago, that's his problem. I got to deal with world and the flesh. You see things the world system. See, the world system slowly pushed into the church to now it's running it. You know, not every Christian, but there's a lot of Christianity is run by the world system. And it's, and by doing that, it follows the flesh. And then the flesh becomes a dominate in the church. And after a while, the devil, he can go out here and get himself a nice little, he can go down the beach and sit on a chair in the sun. He can relax. Because he don't have to fight and do stuff. Because they're doing it to themselves. They're doing it to themselves. All he does is, see the world, he'll fill the world full of his ideas. And if we start accepting it, we'll just slowly eat it, take it in. Hallelujah. We ain't going that way.
Amen.
We're going to stay with the Word. But I just want to encourage you, you have an absolutely dynamic, supernatural way to step into things that God has given you. And it's just been, it was a shame, because I've watched this, is how much it's moved away from that, where the things of the Spirit, tongues and interpretation. I'm going to tell you what, I believe in giving, I believe in tithing, and that's, but I'm going to tell you, praying in tongues is even more important than that. Praying in tongues is more than believing God for money, believing God for healing, because I tell you, you get over in that place of spending time in the Spirit, where your spirit gets a hold of things, I'm going to tell you, the rest of it you'd find ain't going to be near as hard to get a hold of. The rest of it becomes easier to take a hold of. I found out this, when people run into things that they have a hard time getting out of, I can always tell what's going to happen. I know they aren't spending any time, when they're spirit-filled, they don't spend any time praying in other tongues. They aren't doing that. They aren't spending time. I pray, you know, I drive down the road, I can pray in tongues. I speak in tongues. You know, Kenneth Hagin, it was funny because I knew his granddaughter and her husband, He at one time was the dean at Rhema and that stuff, and we knew them real well. We used to, while they would go, if they went out to minister someplace or another church or they would go to sometimes, I would, Wanda and I'd keep her kids for them and that stuff. Sometimes we'd go to the house and stay, in the summertime they would maybe go away for a week of ministry or something and we'd keep their kids. We got to know them very, very personally. And he talked about Brother Hagin praying in tongues. See, Brother Hagin was like Paul. He prayed all the time in other tongues. He said, you go to Brother Hagin's house. He said, he'd be sitting watching a baseball game. He said, be sitting in his recliner, sitting back. He said, he liked baseball a certain time. I don't know what team it was he liked it. He'd watch game. He said, but you watched him all the time. And he said, he's praying in other tongues. He'd be sitting there watching the game, praying in other tongues. He said, he would just be, he said, all the time. He said, the man prayed in tongues all the time. He said, you get around. When he wasn't talking, he was praying in tongues. Said, he did it all the time. Said, all the time. So you watch him. Said, he's sitting over there praying in tongues. He's over there getting edified the whole time. The most amazing thing, you can do things in the natural, and see, we have not learned to separate and understand the difference between the spirit and the natural. I can do things in the natural, and at the same time do things in my spirit. Now think, you do it. Now let me explain it to you. You do it. You get over here and you believe God in your spirit. And then your mind in the natural starts to head in another direction. Did that change what's going on in your spirit? No. But we let it. See, because we turn around and join the two together. You don't realize. See, I can believe God in my mind the whole time, never cooperates with me. But I believe God and bring things to pass in my mind saying, Ed, you're nut. Ed, you shouldn't be doing that. Something's wrong with you. But the whole time, my spirit. See, you need to learn to divide the difference between what's going on in your mind and your spirit. See, we just join it all together. The devil will convince you. See, you wouldn't be thinking that thought if you were really in faith. Well, who bought the thought? You didn't. Your flesh and the devil bought the thought. But where your faith operates out of your spirit, it don't operate out of your head. Your inner man can be believing God, standing strong, believing God. Standing just as strong, believing God. And your mind's over here doing something else. That don't mean that stopped this. When you spoke those words from your heart, they're coming to pass. They're happening. You don't do anything to stop it. What you do is you don't start talking the junk that you start thinking. You don't start agreeing with it. Okay, no, that, over here. See, it's the biggest thing people get off is the things is you know, thoughts that are unspoken, they never come to realization. They never will. Thoughts that aren't spoken. And every one of us get flaky thoughts. Now, I know all of you are just so holy, you never think about, you know, we ought to choke them, you know. We ought to do this with it. You never see thoughts come, you know. The inner man says, let's walk in love. And your flesh says, no. We'll do that tomorrow. Meanwhile, we'll choke them and ask forgiveness. Let's send them home to be with Jesus. What do you think? that's just me. I do. You get thoughts come. But see, the inner man, that has not changed a thing. What the inner man has done and said. What's at the heart? This is why, you know, Jesus talked about, you know, be careful what you hear. Be careful dealing with the areas of your own, dealing with the areas of your own heart. You want to be very, 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 very careful in these areas. People aren't. And saying the wrong things and doing the wrong things and bringing the wrong things to pass till they get in your heart. I could sit here and tell you story after story of people who died early because of things they kept saying till they got into their heart. And they died prematurely. Sometimes people think they start speaking things they think are sort of cute, sort of funny at the time. But over time, they keep saying it, until after a while, their spirit takes a hold of it. And it starts to go. There are people who get over in that area, people who die young. I could sit and tell you story after story. People died young, and their families would tape certain things they said all the time. They spoke all the time and said all the time, and it came to pass. Michael Jackson died just like he said. People say, you know, Michael Jackson. Well, there's Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley? I said, listen to Elvis Presley's brother. He said his brother was a preacher. And his brother, they asked him, well, he was on TV, and he said, about Elvis dying young, he said, Elvis always said he's never going to live longer than his mom. He said it all the time. He said, the fact that Elvis died, he said, what? He died the same age as his mom. Ain't going to outlive him. See, he said it all the time and said it all until he got into his spirit. After a while, it became his prophecy. It became his word out of his spirit. See, people do this. People do this kind of stuff all the time. Where they say things and do things. You know, that's what Lisa Marie Presley said about when she's married to Michael Jackson. Michael would say, I'm going to die young like your dad. She said, she's telling him, don't say that. Don't talk that. He kept talking it. Kept talking it. And he died young. You know, there are people get older. Well, it's getting older. This is hard getting older. And they keep saying that. So they'll ask people to pray for them. You can't change it until they change. In their heart, what's going on, you will never stop it. You need to understand the power of what's in your spirit. The power, once it gets in there, the power of that, it's tremendous. And people need to wake up to that fact of that power that's inside of there. Man, you know, you're sitting on an atomic bomb that can either blow up a blessing or blow up a curse. It's powerful. You know, when God says if he could find one guy, he could change a nation with one person. Now, you tell me that ain't a powerful thing. If I can find one person to stand in the gap, I can change the nation. And you say, why? You get a hold of a man's heart. It isn't about heads, about hearts. That's one thing I learned over time. You got to watch what you listen to politically and watch what's going on and sides and stuff. Because when you get before God, you can't be full of what everything else is going on and things. When you start to talk to God, you start hooking up what you want changed. You can't be tied to the natural. you got to stay over on the side of the spiritual. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. Father God, for giving us such a supernatural, Lord God, gift. And Lord, I just pray for an awakening in the church, an awakening. Lord, we may see it. We may, Lord God, you speak to us, and I thank you, Lord God, because you just don't quit with us. You always, Lord God, is revealing stuff to us and showing us things and trying to help us go further and further, and I appreciate that. But Lord, there's so many of your people that aren't going forward. There's so many, Lord God, that have slid back. And Father God, we ain't against them. Father, we need a move of the Spirit desperately. Lord God, where the things of the Spirit come back and take the preeminence again. Hallelujah. Lord, we're not trying to walk and live in your kingdom by the mind of the flesh, but rather, Lord God, we would come back and walk in the Spirit again. And Father, you've been so compassionate and so merciful. Lord, I know for myself, I'd have quit on a lot of people a long time ago, but you never quit. you just keep working every opportunity. But Father, there's a thing that does trouble me because I know we're in a position and a place for many where we're running out of time. We're running out of time, Lord God. And Lord God, Lord, as Mike spoke in the beginning, the importance of time. Lord God, we always think, and many people think, well, you know, we'll just do something about it later. But Lord, there's many. There are times almost run out to make the changes. Lord God, even with Christians, about things in the Spirit. Father, my desire is that when believers meet you, that they're ready to meet you. That they're ready, Lord God. That they will, Lord God, I want your servants to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, there is many, Lord God, that you would have said years ago, well done, good and faithful servant. But today, they don't walk in that place anymore. They're not in that place anymore. Lord God, they have followed the wills of men and people. And Lord God, I pray for them because, Lord, they're worse off than the uninformed. They're worse off than the man who didn't know. Amen. And Father, I pray for them, Lord. Lord, we think because we heard some things and know, you know, some stuff that we're just so smart. Forgive us, Lord, for arrogance. Our own arrogance. Lord God, we need you. We need your ability more than we need anything. Hallelujah. And Father God, Father, teach us so we can, we'll allow you to manifest yourself like you desire. Not like we desire, but as you desire. Lord, we see things in the Word and how you did it. And we know that, Lord, the things you just, you're going to move in those manners. But Lord God, there are things that we don't see clearly in the Scripture. And we don't know and we don't understand. And Lord, that's where we just have to yield to you. Hallelujah. We have to allow you to work in us. Hallelujah. Outside the intellect. Oh, Father. Oh, Father, you gave us a brain, but, Lord God, we didn't necessarily use it like we were supposed to. Instead of filling it with revelation, we filled it with all kind of other ideas. And Father God, Father, we want the revelation of your Spirit. And I pray for each one today, Father, in the name of Jesus. These are your children. Father, your Word says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And Lord God, as many as are led by the Spirit, even though, Lord God, people are children of God and born of God, they may have never lived the life as a child of God because they don't be led by the Spirit. So they never enjoy the blessing and inheritance that they have. And Father, I just pray today, Lord God, I desire that this people, hallelujah, be led by the Spirit, Lord God. Lord, they live by their inner man. Taking the preeminence. Hallelujah. And the God that lives in them, the great Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that they yield to Him. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, Lord, that they would become sensitive to His wooing in them. Lord, He's not always just so noisy and loud, but yet many times very subtly, He's moving in us. And Lord God, I know myself, times that I've ignored. Hallelujah. But Lord God, Lord, there's things we can no longer ignore in this day and time. We're coming close to the end. And Lord God, there is great need for a massive harvest in this earth. A great need. An enormous need. Far beyond man's ideas of need. Far beyond, Lord God. Lord, billions and billions of people in this earth are on the verge of being swallowed up into eternal damnation. And Father God, I want to, Lord, we're not going to reach this generation in the church in this world if we're not led by the Spirit. If we don't have your help and your assistance and you're not working through us, then we're going to build a house. And Lord God, the house that's being built today is a mess. Lord God, we want to lay the foundation of the temple you've designed, the work that you've designed. Hallelujah. The plans that you designed. And I want to thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for these teachings that you've given me in these areas, Father, because you sure did some correction in my thinkings on some things, majorly. And I want to thank you for teaching and showing us these things. Lord God, not to put anybody down, but to show us a better way to walk, a greater way to walk. Hallelujah. And Father, we're going to do it. We're going to head into it. In the name of Jesus, we're going to walk into it, live it. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ will be glorified. Amen. Jesus Christ will be magnified. There will be a mighty move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, and I thank you for it. Because, Lord, you have people all over this world. They may not be a huge, enormous numbers like the population is, and like what says is the church world. But, Lord God, they're people who have stood in your face, and they have honored you, and they have walked with you, and they have been in your face and praised and sought you. And, Lord God, you're going to move because they asked. Because they ask. Because they've sought you. That you were more important to them than anything else. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you're revealing yourself. And many are going to be blessed because of them. Many will be blessed and God's Spirit will be poured out. And not because of the ones that come along and think, oh, we this and we that. No, there's ones who have put you first above all. And Lord God, many will be blessed. The many will be blessed. And I thank you, Lord. It always rings in my spirit, Lord, what you told me. But told me back in 1980, walking down through the street in Lebanon, back down through Walnut Street. And you said to me, you said there's a great revival going to come to this valley. Great revival. But he said it's not going to come because of the people of this valley. He said there's people who stood before me in years past. And he said they prayed and asked me, and I'm going to bring that move for their sake. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, their prayers are still on the altar of heaven. Just like in the book of Revelation. Those vials of those prayers. And I thank you, just as in Revelation you poured the prayers of the saints out in the earth, in this last day you're going to pour prayers out of the saints who went before us, and you're going to pour them out in the earth, Lord God, and a mighty move. A mighty move shall be come forth from the people of that generation and people who have stood in this generation. And together, Lord God, will bring forth the greatest move of God that has ever been seen upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. And Father, Father, we're going to get the opportunity to walk in it. But Lord God, we will not take the credit for it. Hallelujah. For it is by your Spirit. Hallelujah. All we did was the asking. All we did was the asking. Hallelujah. It is by your glory that it will come. Your great mercy. Lord, we can surely say this in this day and time, even in our own nation. We don't deserve mercy. But yet you show it. You're incredible. You're phenomenal. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Your mercy does endure forever. Hallelujah. Your mercy surely does. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.